Luke's gospel, and just picking up on what's going on, picking up on the story of the coming of Jesus and all the preparation that's gone on beforehand. So Luke and chapter 1, Rob, no, Steve is going to come and read it to us. Sorry, Rob. Hopefully I didn't panic you too much there. So where are we? Yes. Let's get to the right place. So it's not just about the birth of Jesus, birth of John the Baptist as well. Steve's going to come and read.
Hi. This reading is from Luke chapter 1 and verses 38 to 48. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Maybe it should be leapt, not sure about that. Whatever, you understand what it means anyway. "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Amen.
PowerPoint ready to roll up there. Gives us our introduction to what we're going to be looking at today. You've got the two characters there. You've got Mary and you have got Elizabeth. And that's going to come up on the screen and we'll be able to begin. There we are. Mary. Elizabeth said she was blessed. Blessed are you amongst women. Mary would agree. She said, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." So she is to be called blessed because she was blessed. What does that mean? It means simply that she's been given help from God. She's been given something from God. She is genuinely blessed in an amazing way. So we can call her the Blessed Virgin Mary. That's quite okay because the Bible says she is blessed. And there we have our witnesses, Mary herself and Elizabeth. She is blessed. Just because she's blessed doesn't mean to say that we have to do something like that. That's a parade of figure of Mary through the streets, and that's quite outrageous, really, isn't it? I mean, it's really quite something. You may object to that form of adoration. You might not like it at all. You might say it's a distraction from Jesus at the least. It's borderline idolatry at the worst. And you don't like that sort of thing. And so what we do is we agree. Mary is blessed, yes, but then let's forget about her. And so we do. as good evangelicals, as good Baptists, as good whatever we are, we say, no, let's give her a miss. But if we give her a miss, we miss so much. So today, because it's the right time of the season to reflect on Mary's part of this, on her story, we return to Mary this morning. Question. What's so good about Mary? There's so much emphasis on her by certain denominations, certain parts of the world, and the Bible gives her prominence, especially Luke's gospel. Luke in particular has a lot of stories of Mary. She appears a lot in it. Probably one of the people when he was doing his research, he got information from is Mary. He must have met her face to face and recorded her testimony in his gospel. What's good about Mary? We're going to have three things that we're going to pick out. One is what Elizabeth said, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. But why is she so overcome by Mary's belief and trust there? Why is she so bowled over by it? I mean, after all, who didn't believe when an angel comes to them and speaks to them? Well, quite simply, her husband, Zechariah, who said, how can I be sure of this? Send this to an angel of God, a messenger of God. I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. And well, he wasn't going to have it. So he didn't believe. And so had to go through a process of rehabilitation of his trust in God. Mary discerned that this was God Almighty coming through this messenger, this angel. And it was God she was facing. She discerned that this wasn't a hallucination. This wasn't her imagination. This wasn't something going terribly awry. She knew that this was God before her, speaking to her. And she trusted despite the fact that the consequences would be very difficult. So there's no record of her being sorrowful about this announcement from the angel. There's no record that she was anguished by it. She thought it was good. And so we could say that what's so good about Mary? She trusted God. Whatever that route would take her, she trusted God. And it's easy for us when things don't quite go right, we don't quite understand, to back off our trust in God and say, well, I don't know, where is God in this? Surely we're on our own, finding our own way. God's not involved. Or things happening may not be of God, but overall, we need to trust that God is in all things. God is working often despite us. He's working despite other people as well. He's working in the mix of things. God has a purpose, and he's working out his purpose. And in what happens and our path through it, trust in God to lead us and trust in God to have the right ways for us to live. So like Mary, trust in God and receive his assurance that God is working out his plan. And it's for our good. What's so good about Mary then? Let's have another one that's going to come up there. Before we do that, when I came to Kingstanton, I asked all those of you here who were there in that time and others who were here, I asked which part of this country, which towns you look down on. I reminded you that or I talked to you about where we were in Southend before. In Southend in Essex, Southend is often looked down upon as a bit cool blimey and, you know, a bit rough and ready and a lot of kiss kiss me quick hats and all that sort of idea, and the seaside. And that's exactly what Southend is like, really. But Southend people always look down on Basildon. With good reason. And Basildon people, yeah, if you go with a bag over your head and don't look round, Basildon people don't feel that way. They feel good about themselves generally. And Basildon people look down on Tilbury. Now, Tilbury is a dock, and it's a container port, and it has the most terrible level of crime and deprivation. It's a truly awful place to be in Tilbury. So Basildon people could look down on Tilbury. I don't know if Tilbury looked down on anyone whatsoever. I asked you, who do King Stainton look down on? And your answer is, well, who do you look down on? Come on, you told me last time. Well, there we go. Tilbury. What about a local place? Torquay, Paignton. You told me Heal. You did. And you were quite clear about it. I remember the emphasis. Oh, yeah, we know. We know we all look down on Heal. Yeah, terrible place. I've never found it to be quite that terrible. But we all have an ability to look down on someone else, no matter how many people are looking down on us. Mary knew that she was looked down upon by some people. I don't know who she looked down on, but she knew that she was looked down upon. And she said, God has been mindful to the humble state of his servant. She knew that she wasn't up there. She wasn't at the bottom of the pile either, probably. But she was certainly one of those who lived in that peasant culture. The majority are in that peasant culture, and they are looked down upon. And she says, God, you know what I'm like. You know what people think of people like us. You're mindful of that. You know that. But look, you're mindful of it. But you still come and bless me. You still come and make me blessed. How amazing is that? That God has ignored completely the fact that she's not everyone else's first choice for someone to be blessed by God. She says, I'm mindful of the humble state of his servant. I'm your servant. She's not parading around her goodness and saying, well, actually, I tell people what to do. I'm in charge of this. Anyone gets in my space, pushes me around, I put them in their place. They might not like the way I am. They might not look down on me, but I still won't allow it. I still push them around. I'm my own person. I know how to look after myself. No, she just sees herself in that state. She is a servant. Why can she be so confident? Why could she stand with any sense of personhood when she is so looked down upon? Well, maybe she remembered the words in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, where she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. She said, I have now seen the one who sees me. Might think you're small and insignificant. Mary might have thought she's, in other people's eyes, she's a nobody. She'll be forgotten about very quickly after she's died. No, that doesn't matter. God sees her. That is what counts. What's good about Mary? Well, her humility, and she can have that humility because she has the confidence that she has been noticed by God. Take a moment now. Just to lay aside the things that you cling on to, that you think sets you apart from others, gives you a place in your, whichever way you fit in the class system, where you fit in your family. Just take a moment to lay aside anything that is really not of any value, doesn't matter, and hold on to the fact that you could be confident in your humility, because God has noticed you. What's so good about Mary? We've got one more thing, and the thing we haven't got yet, which I've left to last, is the thing which is the most important of all. Sneaked it in at the very beginning of our reading. And it's the bit where Mary demonstrates, well, this, she said, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Wow. We honor Mary. We don't honor her by parading around effigies of her and dressing it up with baubles. Neither do we honor her by ignoring her. She's an example to us of obedience. And her obedience was necessary for the birth of Jesus. The angel didn't say, this is going to happen to you, like it or lump it. It was really important that her consent was given. Faced with it, she freely said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. So she's an example of obedience, and that's obedience in the face of doubts and fears and insecurities. In the face of that, we say, wow, what an example of obedience. And if we ever think, how are we doing? Shall we do it? Shall we not do it? Which way should we go? Shall we be faithful to God? Actually, look to Mary for your example. When she had the choice of backing out of all that was about to happen, she said, yes, Lord, may it be as you say. So, we call her blessed, and she sure was. She's an example of trust and humility and obedience. And we can finish with, well, what's good about you? Trust, humility, obedience are qualities that you can build into your own life and continue to build into your own life. And as you do so, it means you're sharing those good qualities with Mary. Build on your trust in God. Build on your humility and being confident and secure in the fact that God's noticed you. And in your obedience, know that you're following in Mary's footsteps. She was blessed by God, and you can be blessed as well. Let's pray together. I pray this morning, Lord, help us to be like Mary. In her relationship with you, may we walk that path so that we're blessed. Hear us, Lord, we pray. Amen.